WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The latest strain of COVID-19 has not turned up in Wisconsin, but experts say they're still concerned. James Kelly reports.
COVID-19 hospital stays in Wisconsin and around the U.S. are on the rise, but they're still close to all-time lows. A new offshoot of the Omicron variant is the cause for concern. There are three confirmed cases of BA286 in three states, including Michigan. So far, there are no confirmed cases in Wisconsin. Almost everyone in the United States has some protection against severe illness from COVID-19 because of vaccination, previous infection, or both. A new round of booster shots will be available starting later this month, but experts say it's too soon to tell how effective it will be against this new strain. James Kelly, Civic Media News.
The chairman of Wisconsin's Elections Commission says Administrator Megan Wolf should stay on the job at least through next year's election. Don Millis says the stability she provides is important. He tells WISN-TV's Upfront that Republican senators should not fire her.
I think it would be bad for the election process. I think it would be bad politically for Republicans. So I just think it would be unwise.
Millis says Wolf should have appeared at last week's confirmation hearing, even if lawmakers don't have the power to remove her. Millis says Wolf could have countered the misinformation offered by several people who testified. Meanwhile, a new investigation finds no evidence to support accusations against Wolf. Kathleen Bernier is a former Republican state senator and elections clerk. She tells Wisconsin Watch that Wolf lacks the authority to make the kinds of decisions she's taking heat for. A new study by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention finds pregnant women of color complaining about mistreatment from healthcare professionals. Terry D. reports.
Almost one-third of Black or Hispanic patients reported incidents like receiving no response to requests for help, being shouted at or scolded, or not having their physical privacy protected. Some reported being threatened with withholding treatment or made to accept unwanted treatment. The CDC suggests healthcare systems make it a priority to support care that is respectful and considerate of the patient's values, needs, and desires. I'm Terry D. reporting.
Madison police say the community should be on alert after a University of Wisconsin student was nearly beaten to death yesterday morning. Police were still looking for anyone responsible as of early this morning. The woman is in critical condition in a Madison hospital. Meanwhile, campus police are increasing patrols in the area. They're urging people to be aware of their surroundings and never to walk alone at night. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. New proposed legislation in Wisconsin would require that child sexual abuse prevention be taught in schools. The law would require instruction in K-12 school districts to inform students about childhood sexual abuse and the warning signs. Wisconsin would be the 29th state in the country to enact Aaron's Law, and every state that has yet to pass it is currently considering it. The Wisconsin Department of Children and Families reports 3.4 per 1,000 children were victims of maltreatment in 2021. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources issued a red flag warning yesterday afternoon for 22 counties across the state, warning of high or very high fire danger. As a potentially record-breaking heat wave rolls through the state, the Department of Natural Resources is asking Wisconsin residents to avoid outdoor burning until conditions improve, operate heavy equipment early in the day or late in the evening, and report fires early. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Brewers and the Pirates tonight. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers in Pittsburgh to open a series against the Pirates. The crew losing yesterday 4-2 to the Phillies. Starting pitcher Wade Miley had a no-hitter going with just one batter left in the fifth before Philly got aboard. Miley asked, are the Brewers going to be okay heading into the stretch?
I think we're fine. You know, we just got to keep playing one game at a time. And the magnitude of each game down the stretch right now is so important.
The crew opening a three-game series against the Phillies. Game time 5:35. Corbin Burns on the mound tonight for Milwaukee on just how well rookie Bryce Turang has been playing at second.
Yeah, I mean, he played great all year. He's played gold glove caliber second base, and rightfully so, should be at the top of that list at the end of the year. The defense he provides us had to save us a ton of runs this year.
College football, the Badgers won their home opener 38-17, but Wisconsin did far better in the run game than with their new air raid passing game, including just one touchdown pass and two interceptions for Badgers' new quarterback, Tanner Mordecai. Were there some mixed emotions after the game at Coach Luke Fickell?
Yes. You know, there's mixed emotions right now, but as I walked in here, my wife probably tried to remind me to enjoy what you do and winning. And I say that to the guys, but then I walk out and I bite my lip.
The play of the day was that 89-yard touchdown run by Badgers running back Ches Malusi, who zigged and zagged his way to the goal line.
Yeah, there was a good block on the right side, but they were kind of overfilling that side, and I kind of just cut back and I just hit it. I saw a lane and then just kind of read the perimeter blocking, and my receivers were working hard for me, so I just kind of set some of those blocks up, and I was just, you know, bouncing around.
Up next, a road trip to Washington State. NFL. The Packers have a very bright slot receiver picked up in the second round, number 11, Jaden Reed, who played for the Spartans.
Being at Michigan State, you know, we practice like pros. You know, Mel Tucker was in the league for a few years, so he carried a lot of things we do at Michigan State. I think it helped me carry it over to the league easily, and it made my job easier here. So
the Packers face the Bears 3:25 Sunday at Soldier Field. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Daniel's show on a Friday morning. It is the first day of September. Yeah, come on in, grab a seat, and get something to drink, maybe a coffee or some tea, and relax for a little bit because we have a lot to discuss over the next couple of hours, 7.5 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. Outside today, going to be another nice summertime day, much warmer than yesterday. Lacrosse today, sunshine, high around 86. Eau Claire, sunshine, high around 87 degrees. In Richland Center, sunshine, high around 85. Amory, sunshine, high around 86. And up in Hayward, mostly sunny and breezy, the high around 84 degrees. And in sports, the Brewers were off yesterday, and so were the Cubs. So Milwaukee remains 3 games ahead of Chicago in the National League Central. The Brewers start a 3-game series with the Phillies tonight in Milwaukee. And in the headlines, there's breaking news. We just got the new jobs report from August, and the economy added another 187,000 jobs, more than economists expected. We'll get to some details on that in just a minute. Also, First Lady Jill Biden was in Madison yesterday. Two of the leaders of the Proud Boys who were involved in the January 6th insurrection were given stiff sentences yesterday, although only about half of what prosecutors were seeking. Also in the headlines, Congressman Jamie Raskin of Maryland is asking the House Oversight Committee to look into $2 billion in funding that Jared Kushner received for his private equity fund from the Saudi government. And President Joe Biden's Labor Department wants to give about 3 million workers a raise by making them eligible for overtime pay. So that's good news for workers who may now be eligible for that overtime pay that were not eligible for that before. And we'll go over some of the details in that as well. But the first thing I want to get to is the breaking news, the August jobs report. I have information here from the New York Times. It says U.S. job growth remains steady. The labor market continued to moderate, with hiring remaining steady, but the unemployment rate rising, reflecting efforts by the Federal Reserve to cool the economy. And it does look like we are heading for a soft landing, just threading that needle just perfectly so that that big recession that Republicans were talking about since the day Joe Biden won has not yet materialized. It says here employers added 187,000 jobs in August, unemployment rate at 3.8%. And the story says, and this is from the New York Times, just posted minutes ago, the United States added 187,000 jobs in August, but the unemployment rate jumped unexpectedly, reflecting the impact of high interest rates and the U.S. economy's gradual cooling from the boom that followed pandemic lockdowns. The data reported just a few minutes ago by the Labor Department is the latest indication that while hiring has weakened, there is no sign of an imminent recession that would result in widespread joblessness. The unemployment rate at 3.8% is still low, but the rise from 3.5% in July was notable. The job growth figures for June and July were revised down by a combined 110,000 jobs, contributing to a picture slightly weaker than it previously appeared. Here's a quote for you. It says, the good news is it's a normal that favors workers more than we're used to over the past 25 years. And I think that would be a good thing for many of us who are workers. It's a normal that favors workers more than we're used to over the past 25 years. That quote from Justin Blesch, an assistant professor of economics at Cornell University. Moreover, he noted, stability has its own benefits. People are more likely to be part of the workforce if they feel confident they'll be able to stay there for a while. And here's another quote. He said, this is where we start to get to the time where the duration of a good labor market matters more than how good. Dr. Blesch said, much of the slowdown has come from industries that are returning to more typical levels after the pandemic's upheaval. Exhibit A, truck transportation, which grew to serve a stay-at-home online shopping spree and shrank as it died down. Trucking company payrolls have flattened out, which probably masks an outright decline, since many contracted owner-operators have also parked their rigs. The bankruptcy of Yellow, the trucking company, which employed about 30,000 drivers and other staff members, probably accelerated that process as the amount of available work has shrunk. And here's a quote for you. It says, the truck job market has gone from excruciatingly tight in 2021 and the first half of 2022 to being as loose as it's been since sometime shortly after the Great Recession, said Kenny Veith, president, senior analyst at ACT Research. He said, with Yellow taking 20-plus thousand drivers out of the market, it's a start in getting supply under control, end quote. Those shifts are evident in the overall number of job openings per unemployed worker, which declined to about 1.5 in July from more than 2 job openings per employer or per employee, or I should say per unemployed worker early in 2022, indicating that employers' appetite for labor is nearly sated. The average number of hours worked per week has also fully receded, with overtime becoming less essential as payrolls have filled out. While with those hiring frenzies unwinding, employment growth has narrowed to a few industries that are still in recovery, like leisure and hospitality, or are set up for sustained demand because of structural factors in the economy, like education and healthcare. Both of those are also disproportionately supplied by immigrants and women, groups that have entered the labor force at rates that surprised many analysts. And here's another quote for you. It says, at some point, and you're seeing that somewhat on the leisure and hospitality side, those legs run out, said Stephen Juneau, an economist with Bank of America Merrill Lynch. He added, health services are structurally supported by aging demographics, and we're just getting hospital funding back to normal. Once those support legs come off, what are we left with? So that's the latest on the jobs report that just came out a few minutes ago. Looks like the economy continues to plug along in a good way. And one more thing I wanted to mention before we go to our first break. First Lady Jill Biden was in Madison yesterday. She toured Exact Sciences to highlight early cancer detection. I'll give you a little bit of this article from the Wisconsin State Journal before we go to the break. This was just posted this morning. It says, First Lady Jill Biden visited Madison yesterday to promote early cancer detection and attend a fundraiser with state politicians, among other events, throughout the day. The visit capped a three-week run of national political figures, including President Joe Biden and Republican presidential nominees, seeking support in battleground Wisconsin as the 2024 campaign heats up. It's the second stop by the Bidens in the Madison area this year. The president visited DeForest in February to deliver his first public speech after the State of the Union address. Jill Biden landed at Dane County Regional Airport early on Thursday afternoon and first took an hour-long tour of an Exact Sciences laboratory. The Madison-headquartered company makes cancer screening tests. Exact Sciences' best-known product is Cologuard. You've seen the commercials on TV, right? That little box with arms and legs that tells you to get a test. That's, as you know, an at-home screening test for colon cancer. The company has about 6,500 employees, roughly 3,000 of whom are in Dane County. And that's according to Exact Sciences spokesperson, Stephanie Spanos. 17 minutes after 8 o'clock right now, going to take our first break of the show. Stick around. It's a short one. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Truckin', got my chips cashed in. Keep truckin' like the doo-dah man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep truckin' on, on, on.
Arrows of neon and flashing marquees out on Main Street. Chicago, New York, Detroit, and it's all on the same street. A typical city involved in a typical daydream. Hang it up and see what tomorrow brings.
Dallas got a soft machine. Houston, too close to New Orleans. New York got the ways and means and just won't let you be.
The cats that you meet on the streets speak of true love. Most of the time they're sitting and crying at home. One of these days they know they gotta get going. Out of the door and down to the street all alone.
Chugging like the doo-dah man once told me you got to pay your hands.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
It's going to be another hot one today. Mostly sunny. We'll get to 96 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at around 10 to 20 today. Tonight, 75. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a slight chance of afternoon and nighttime thunderstorms. 93 our high tomorrow. Wednesday, a lot cooler with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Summertime done come and gone. My, oh my. It is the 1st of September. Can you believe it? Now we still got some warm weather left, right? Oftentimes, September is a summer month. You never know what can happen in September. Some of the nicest weather may be in the month of September, so we have that to look forward to. 57 degrees right now in La Crosse and 50 degrees in Richland Center. Everybody on the west side of Wisconsin today looking for highs in the mid-80s. Yeah, 24 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock right now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. And I have some information here about the sentencing yesterday of two of the leaders of the Proud Boys, now ex-Proud Boys, who were involved, if not instrumental, in the Capitol riot that took place on January 6th, 2021, the insurrection. And I have a headline here from Axios. It says, ex-Proud Boys leader gets one of the longest Capitol riot sentences. And this information gathered by Serene Habeshian, it says two former leaders of the Proud Boys were sentenced yesterday, for seditious conspiracy and other charges related to the Capitol riot. And it's Joseph Biggs was sentenced to 17 years in prison, while Zachary Rail was sentenced to 15 years in prison per the Department of Justice. Seems like anybody who gets on the team with Donald Trump eventually gets sentenced to something, right? And Biggs's sentence is the second longest handed down in the January 6th cases, though it's about half as long as what prosecutors requested. Rails was the third longest sentence so far. The Department of Justice asked that Biggs serve 33 years in prison. Rail served 30 years. The longest sentence so far is an 18-year prison term being served by Stuart Rhodes, the founder of the far-right militia group Oath Keepers. Biggs and Rail were both found guilty of seditious conspiracy in May, along with other members of the extreme right-wing group, including Ethan Nordine and their leader, Enrique Tarrio. So both men sentenced yesterday were also sentenced to 36 months of supervised release following their prison sentences. So far, more than 1,100 people have been arrested in nearly all 50 states for crimes related to the breach of the U.S. Capitol. These include more than 350 individuals charged with assaulting or impeding law enforcement. What about Back to Blue? 27 minutes after 8 o'clock, going to take a bottom of the hour break. Stick around. You are tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Went to see the captain, strangest I could find. Laid my proposition down, laid it on the line. I won't slave for beggar's pay, likewise gold and jewels, but I would slave to learn the way to sink your ship of fools. Ship of
missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Tens of thousands are still trapped at the Burning Man Festival in Nevada following heavy rain. CBS's Elise Preston.
Organizers have postponed the festival's main ceremony from last night to tonight. That's the traditional burning of the wooden figure known as the man. As for when folks will be able to leave, they're monitoring road conditions, and the so-called exodus could happen as early as this morning.
A convicted murderer is on the run after escaping from the Chester County prison in Pennsylvania. David Roper lives a couple miles away and canceled a birthday party.
We just didn't want to have the whole family here and run the risk of anything happening.
On this Labor Day, there's still no new contract between the United Auto Workers Union and the big three automakers. The current deal expires next week. Sean Fain is president of the union.
And it's time to take back what's ours.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A motorcyclist died following a crash in Barron County on Saturday afternoon. According to the Barron County Sheriff's Department, the accident occurred around 1 in the afternoon on Saturday on Highway 8 near County Road O. 73-year-old Stephen Roast of Barron was riding on Highway 8 when a 68-year-old from Cameron pulled out from a stop sign on Highway O onto Highway 8, colliding with Roast. Life-saving measures were conducted on Roast, but authorities were unsuccessful. The United States Department of Agriculture will feature Wisconsin every week in its Fall Colors Report, according to Northern News Now. The report is meant to encourage people to get outdoors and take in scenic views across the country. The USDA also reminds people to leave no trace when they visit these sites, meaning people should dispose of waste properly, respect wildlife, and minimize campfire impacts. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
But when Saturday rolls around, I'm too tired for having fun.
Too tired for having, I'm just working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down.
Working
in a coal mine,
going
down, down, down.
Working
in a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down.
Lord, I'm so tired.
How long can this go on?
Daddy, yeah, Lord, I'm so tired. How long can this go on? That's Lee Dorsey doing the original version, the big hit version, working in a coal mine, going back about 60 years. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, this day before the big Labor Day weekend, or I guess later today it'll be part of the big Labor Day weekend, right? Hope you're not working in a coal mine today. 8:35 now on this Friday morning, the first day of September. Got 62 degrees in Eau Claire and 63 degrees in Amory. Everybody looking for highs today in the mid-80s. And another story that I want to get to is this story about Jared Kushner. And I know some of you have heard this story. Well, now there's going to be a little bit brighter light shined on this story about Jared Kushner receiving $2 billion from the Saudi government right after he exited the White House back in 2021. And some people are asking questions about this money now. I have a story here from The Hill. Raskin asks Comer to subpoena Kushner for information on firm's Saudi ties. And this piece was posted yesterday by Emily Brooks at thehill.com. Says House Oversight and Accountability Committee ranking member Jamie Raskin, Democrat from Maryland, asked panel chairman James Comer, Republican from Kentucky, to subpoena Jared Kushner to produce documents about money his investment firm has received from Saudi Arabia and other Gulf monarchies. In a letter on Thursday, yesterday, to Comer, Raskin referenced Comer's recent public comments expressing skepticism about the post-Trump administration activities of Kushner, the son-in-law of former President Donald Trump, who was a top White House aide. Raskin asked Comer to join the Democrats' probe into Kushner's firm called Affinity Partners. That group, formed in 2021, reportedly raised $2 billion from an investment fund led by Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and millions more from other Gulf nations. And here's a quote. It says, "I am encouraged by your recent acknowledgement that what Kushner did crossed the line of ethics and your repeated assertions that our committee is investigating foreign nationals' attempts to target and coerce high-ranking U.S. officials' family members by providing money or other benefits in exchange for certain actions." That's what Raskin said in the letter to Comer. "In light of these concerns, I urge you to pursue a serious and objective investigation by issuing a subpoena to Affinity and requiring the firm to comply with my February 15th request for documents regarding its receipt of billions of dollars from Gulf monarchies shortly after Kushner left a senior White House position he used to reshape U.S. foreign policy towards Saudi Arabia and the Middle East in Saudi Arabia's favor, a request you have thus far allowed Mr. Kushner to ignore and defy," Raskin wrote. A Republican spokesperson for the Oversight Committee brushed off Raskin's request. And here's a quote from that spokesperson. "Ranking Member Raskin's letter to Chairman Comer is nothing more than an attempt to distract from the mounting evidence of Joe Biden's involvement in his family's influence peddling schemes. If Ranking Member Raskin was truly concerned about ethics in government, then he would join Republicans in our investigation of the Bidens' blatant corruption. However, Ranking Member Raskin is only concerned about playing Biden family defense lawyer." And we should mention that there hasn't been any evidence brought forward that the Biden family is involved in anything like that. I'll continue with the story says, in a CNN interview earlier in August, Comer was pressed on how his committee is approaching business activities of Trump's family members compared to Republicans' probe of President Biden's family foreign business dealings, primarily those of his son, Hunter Biden. And here's a quote. He said, I've been vocal that I think that what Kushner did crossed the line of ethics, Comer said, but drew a distinction. But it happened after he left office. And Jared Kushner actually has a legitimate business. This money to the Bidens happened while Joe Biden was vice president, while he was flying to those countries, end quote. In 2022, when Democrats controlled the House, Democrats on the House Oversight Committee requested that Kushner produce various documents and information about Affinity Partners and his communications with Saudi officials. Raskin said that Affinity has ignored Democrats' requests since October. Raskin had asked Comer in February to join him in renewing that request to Kushner, writing in a letter not previously made public that the House cannot craft legislation to set a line as to where you can be with relatives of high-ranking government officials with respect to doing business with adversaries overseas without examining the plethora of actual and potential ethical violations of the previous administration, meaning the Trump administration. Why? The question is, why did the Saudis give $2 billion to Jared Kushner? I think we would all like the answer to that question. What did he have to do to get that money? So maybe we'll find out, but it may take a while. 8:41 right now. The next story that I want to get to is about this overtime pay. Have you heard about this? Do you ever qualify for overtime pay at your job? I have a story here from Politico.com. Biden Labor Department moves to expand overtime pay for millions of people, workers making less than about $55,000 annually would be automatically entitled to time and a half pay under the Department of Labor's proposal. This story was posted yesterday at Politico, and it says here the Biden administration on Wednesday proposed giving raises to more than 3 million workers by making them eligible for overtime pay. The move by the Department of Labor comes more than 8 years after the Obama administration embarked upon a similar effort to boost wages by rewriting overtime eligibility rules under the Fair Labor Standards Act. Workers making less than about $55,000 annually would be automatically entitled to time and a half pay under this new proposal, up from $35,000 set in 2019 under former President Donald Trump. The Obama-era plan initially proposed setting a $50,000 floor before settling on $47,476 annually, though a federal judge in Texas blocked the rule from taking effect. The Department of Labor estimates that the change would result in higher wages for about 3.6 million workers. And here's a quote for you. It says here, this is from the Labor Secretary, for over 80 years, a cornerstone of workers' rights in this country is the right to a 40-hour work week, the promise that you get to go home after 40 hours or you get higher pay for each extra hour that you spend laboring away from your loved ones. Acting Labor Secretary Julie Sue said in a release, she also said workers deserve to continue to share in the economic prosperity of Bidenomics, end quote. Under the plan, employers must show that a worker is salaried, makes at least a certain amount of money, and works in a bona fide executive, administrative, or professional capacity in order to be exempt from hourly overtime requirements, The Biden proposal, if finalized, will likely face similar legal arguments to the ones presented against the Obama overtime rule. In that case, a judge ruled that the Department of Labor exceeded its authority by raising the salary threshold so drastically that it effectively eliminates the third part of that test. Employer groups whose members would likely see increased labor costs as a result of this proposed policy quickly lined up in opposition. Are you surprised? I'm not. A quote here says, massive increases in labor costs like this simply cannot be absorbed by businesses. The Partnership to Protect Workplace Opportunity said in a statement, and they added, it will reduce opportunities, especially for recent graduates, younger professionals hoping to begin their careers. End quote. The Department of Labor's proposal also includes a mechanism to update the salary threshold every 3 years by linking it to the 35th percentile of income. The 2016 proposal was tied to the 40th percentile, which the department said at the time echoed the level when the overtime standard was first enacted under President Franklin Roosevelt. If you're working more than 40 hours a week, you deserve time and a half, right? 8:45 right now, just about to turn to 8:46. Got a break coming up. It's a short one. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
The simple click of a seatbelt can mean the difference between life and death. But don't just take it from me.
As a nurse for the last 34 years, I've seen way too many people seriously hurt in crashes because they weren't wearing a seatbelt. Please protect yourself. Spare your family and emergency responders from needless trauma. Buckle up. Every seat, every trip, every time.
A life-saving message, sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that.
Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's going to be another hot one today. Mostly sunny. We'll get to 96 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at around 10 to 20 today. Tonight, 75. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a slight chance of afternoon and nighttime thunderstorms. 93 our high tomorrow. Wednesday, a lot cooler with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 75.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show as we get ready for Labor Day weekend. Music from the Isley Brothers. Got work to do. 8:52 right now. Outside, 62 degrees in La Crosse and 61 degrees in Hayward. If you have an opinion on anything we're discussing today, feel free to call in. The phone number is 715-388-7155. Again, that's 715-388-7155. Time now to turn to the wellness corner of the Stu Daniels Show. Got some information here from the New York Times. They have a column called Well, and in this column that came out yesterday, they have five tips to handle conflict, and especially if you hate confrontation. Okay, this is a column by Jan C. Dunn, and she tells a story about what happened to her when she had a confrontation. She starts out by saying, I was in the middle seat on an airplane recently during a flight to London when a person behind me put her bare foot on my armrest. What would you do? She says, my heart started to pound. I knew I would have to say something, but before I could, a man next to me who was writing in a notebook glanced at the foot and lightly stabbed it with his pen. The foot, unsurprisingly, slid away. For some of us, the mere thought of confrontation triggers a stress response, complete with rapid heartbeat, tense muscles, and shortness of breath, said Karen Osilla, an associate professor in psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Stanford Medicine. this causes people to avoid it, she said, because we associate it with danger. But not only are disagreements inevitable, they can have benefits, said Bo Seo, author of Good Arguments, How Debate Teaches Us to Listen and Be Heard. Research suggests that resolving conflict in healthy ways increases your well-being, lowers stress, and improves self-esteem. Productive disputes, for all their challenges, are pathways to a bigger life, he said. So, how should conflict-averse people deal with tense situations? I asked experts for tips on how to confront someone when you would rather do almost anything else. First, start with people you trust. If confrontation puts you on edge, practice disagreeing with people you trust, said CEO, quote, because honest, open-minded disagreement requires psychological safety. Try getting comfortable saying, I actually disagree with that, he said. Think of healthy dissent as a muscle you can build over time, he added. Second, ease into the discussion. First, take a deep breath, Dr. Osilla said, which reduces anxiety and helps you to stay calm. Next, in a polite tone, concede that you don't know the other person's intentions, said Sheila Heen, a deputy director of the Harvard Negotiation Project and a co-author of Difficult Conversations, How to Discuss What Matters Most. People often waste time imagining the other person's motivations, she said, but these are impossible to know for sure. She said, either way, the impact of their action is the problem you want to solve. Then, calmly share your concern, focusing on how the situation has affected you. You might say something like, hey, you may or may not be aware, but I'm cleaning up after your dog regularly in my yard, Heen said. Next is describe your emotions. After you express the effects of their actions or words, communicate your emotions, Heen said, and invite the other person to share theirs. An example would be, I'm frustrated, she said, or that comment you made stung. And don't bottle up your feelings because they can manifest as passive aggression or translate into anger or accusations, she said. It's better to name emotions, Heen added, instead of using them to blame and attack. And the last one I'll mention before we go to the break is shift to a learning conversation. Once you've shared your feelings, have a learning conversation to trade perspectives and solve the problem together, Heen said. She suggested asking, what worries or concerns you most about this? And what do you think I'm missing? Listen, ask follow-up questions, and suggest possible solutions, she said. So there are some tips for dealing with confrontation, especially if you don't like to deal with confrontation, from the New York Times. 8:58 right now. Got to take a break for the top of the hour news. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.